Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord, whom our Father has raised from the dead, the crucified one, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our sermon title for this morning is amended to be New Life on the Eighth Day. And we'll also pull from the resurrection account according to St. John's Gospel, the 20th chapter. Now, on the first day of the week, the Easter story begins. The passion predictions of the Christ read as follows: "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised." For just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, our Lord says, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The first day of the week and the third day are both mentioned several times in connection with our Lord's resurrection, but no mention ever of the eighth day. So why the title amended for this day, New Life on the Eighth Day? For that, we have to go back to the Sunday before, to Palm Sunday. For the Jews, the Sabbath day was the last day of the week. For on it God rested, following his great work of all the universe, his creation. That day of rest completed out that first full week. And thus, the next day following the day of rest was the first day of the new week. And following that Sabbath day, on the first day of the new week, Jesus entered into Jerusalem to the shouts and the cries of the great crowds of people, the Passover pilgrims to Jerusalem. Now, we do not know exactly what took place on the second, the third, and the fourth days of that week, Holy Week, our Monday, our Tuesday, and our Wednesday of our own weeks. Working backward, though, we know that Jesus was crucified on the sixth day of the week, our Friday, because we're told that the following day was the Sabbath, on which the Jews could do no work. And so they had to hurry to take Jesus down from the cross that Friday evening, have him buried in the tomb before the sun set that day, which would usher in the Sabbath day of rest. And we know that the Lord Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples the day before he was crucified. And so that puts the day of Passover and the institution of the Lord's Supper on the fifth day of that week, our Thursday. That is how we have come to name those days of Holy Week as Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. And if you recall, from the Genesis account of creation, God created mankind on the sixth day of that week, which would be our Friday of our week. Of course, this is the very same day of the week on which our Lord Jesus was crucified. We acknowledge then that just as man was first created on the sixth day, the Friday of that first week, so man is recreated, redeemed on the sixth day of Holy Week, Good Friday. The following day, God rested from his work of creation, the seventh day, or Saturday, and following his death upon the cross to pay the price for the sins of all mankind, that work of recreation, the Lord Jesus then rested from his work on that seventh day, the Sabbath day, as he laid in the tomb. Jesus' death upon the cross on Good Friday, his rest in the tomb on that Sabbath day, Holy Saturday, thus marks the fulfillment of all of God's holy expectations. The work of the Torah, God's instruction for his people, is complete. Jesus alone has done all that is necessary for our salvation, for our re-creation. He has fulfilled all righteousness as he had predicted. With all that being done, the creation that has been completed can now proceed to be the creation. Its work of being made is finished. And so the first day following the Sabbath day, the first day of the new week, is the eighth day, counting backward to that very first day of creation. And the first day of the new week on which our Lord Jesus rose from the dead is the eighth day, tracking back to the beginning of Holy Week, in which he performed our very work of redemption, our recreation, by his sacred blood. Now, why do this? Why go this route of discussing the eighth day? Historically, that number is very important, both in the church's history and Israel's history of old. Genesis 17, God establishes his covenant, his promise with Abraham. And the sign of that covenant he makes to be circumcision. Such an act of God's covenant could happen on any day of that boy's life. And today it often takes place in the hospital right after birth. But with any day available, God chose the eighth day of that boy's life. On the eighth day, that newborn baby boy would be declared as now a part of God's covenant people through that very act of circumcision. The new identity as God's chosen child was then given on that eighth day of life. And even our Lord Jesus Christ was circumcised on the eighth day following his birth, keeping fully with the covenant of God. St. Paul later writes in Colossians chapter 2 that in Jesus also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. God has linked baptism to circumcision. The identity of God's chosen people is given in holy baptism, just as it was given through that act of circumcision. And as circumcision was to take place on the eighth day of life, signifying then the first day of that new week following the creation, so baptism is the eighth day for the one who is baptized, signifying now the first day of the new life that is given in the sacred waters. This is why baptismal fonts throughout history have included an octagon in their design, the eight-sided shape, as does even our own font here in this church. On the first day of the week, the first day of the new week, the eighth day following Palm Sunday, our Lord Jesus rose from the dead. Now, Jews treated their dead with great reverence, even though such handling of their dead would make them unclean. Even so, Mary Magdalene, the other women, were eager to get back to the tomb of their beloved Jesus. Their work of the proper care for the body of their Lord was not yet finished. So when Mary Magdalene arrived at the tomb, according to St. John's Gospel, she saw that the stone had been removed, taken away from the tomb. The first thought to cross Mary's mind was not the resurrection of her Lord. She assumed that his body had been removed, probably by the Jews, and perhaps even as some type of cruel trick. So naturally, she went away and alerted Peter and John, the rest of the disciples, to this alarming development. After Peter and John raced to the tomb, visited it, departed from it, Mary Magdalene remained behind, weeping then outside of the empty tomb of her dead master. Mary stooped down to peek inside. She was treated with the vision of two glorious angels in white, one sitting where Jesus' head would have been, the other where his feet should have been. Mary then is asked the question that should have an obvious answer: "Woman, why are you weeping?" Mary gives them the obvious answer that she is seeking the Lord Jesus, and thus she leaves the tomb. She then stands face to face with Jesus, her master, though she assumes him to be the gardener. Jesus then repeats the angel's question: "Woman, why are you weeping?" Then he adds, "Whom are you seeking?" It's finally the use of Mary's name from the mouth of the Lord Jesus that calls her from her slumber of unbelief. Just as God calls you by your name in holy baptism and gives you new life, so Jesus' use of Mary's name gives her eyes a new life, a new vision in which to see Jesus anew, resurrected from the dead. That first day of that new week, the eighth day, it has changed everything. It has brought life and immortality to light. Jesus' resurrection on this day ushers in the unthinkable for sinful humanity. The dreadful life of sickness, of pain, of death is given newness in Jesus' resurrection from the dead. All of that will be taken away, never to be experienced by Christ's people again. And because Jesus lives, you will live also. Where he is, you will be also. This is all the truth, because Jesus has been raised from the dead. His tomb is empty. The remains of a dead man could not be found, but the Lord Jesus is found, alive and well. This is the truth because you have been united with Jesus in holy baptism. And this is most certainly the truth because the eighth day is the first day of the new week, with the work of our recreation in Jesus now complete. It is no wonder, then, that Sunday, the first day of the new week, the eighth day, is the day that the Church of Christ gathers regularly in his name as one. Christ is risen from the dead, and he joins you with himself in his resurrection. And so each new day that you live in Christ is the eighth day in Jesus the Savior, for new life and eternal life that knows no end is yours, even now and forevermore. For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.